Good morning, and welcome to a new week of our Yehoshua Mini Shiurim, 10 to 15 minutes a day, in which we are learning the book of Yehoshua for the merit of the soldiers of the IDF, as well as Israel's emergency services, as well as the hostages and the injured. And thank you to those who voted in the poll about whether you prefer for me to upload the actual audio file to the chat or the YU Torah link. It seems pretty clear that we're about evenly divided, so I will continue to upload both. We are up to Perek Hey, Chapter 5, Sentences 9 and 10, in which the Jews bring the Korban Pesach. We just saw how they had a national bris milah for either all or most of the men, saying that they didn't do bris milah in the Midbar. We said that maybe some of them did, but overall they were not doing it. We already discussed why it wasn't done for those 40 years in the wilderness. And then you get sentence 10. And there are three different ways, sentence 9, excuse me, and there are three different ways you can take sentence 9. There's a paragraph break in a proper Tanakh between sentences 8 and 9. 8 was the last one about Bris Milah. And then sentence 9, Vayomer Hashem al Yehoshua, Hashem said to Yehoshua, Hayom galosi es cherpas mitzrayim emei aleichem. Today I have removed, or I am removing, the shame of Egypt from upon you. Vayikra shem ha-makom ahu Gilgal ad hayom hazeh. And he called the place Gilgal to this very day. We've talked about what to this very day means. I'm not going back to that issue. But because of galosi, I have removed, therefore it is called Gilgal. That becomes the name of this location where the Jews camped, where they did the bris milah, where they bring the Korban Pesach. So, and then in sentence 10, it'll say, V'achanu b'nei Yisrael ba'Gilgal, the Jews camped in Gilgal, v'yasu as ha-Pesach, b'arba'a asar yom la'chodesh bo'erev b'arvos yiricho. They did the Korban Pesach on the 14th day of the month, that's when it's supposed to be, 14th day of Nisan, in the evening in the plains of Yiricho. Bo'erev b'arvos, nice little bit of wordplay having those two side by side. Okay, just in terms of chronology now, remember, they crossed the Yarden. We said that was the 10th of Nisan that they actually came across. They had the Bris Milah. They had 3 days to recover from the Bris Milah, and then you have the Korban Pesach. All good, all straightforward. But that paragraph break between sentences 8 and 9, separating the Bris Milah and the removal of the shame of Egypt, is interesting. Three different approaches. Abarbanel is the first approach we're going to bring. He says, paragraph break is really end of the Bris Milah discussion. Removing the shame of Egypt refers to the Korban Pesach specifically. He says, because the Egyptians said Hashem cannot bring us into the land, we're going to die in the Midbar, today I have removed the shame of Egypt because, look, everybody's going to see you have arrived in the land, you're bringing the Korban Pesach, marking the demise of Egypt. So that's one approach. Fine. However, other commentators say no. Removing the shame of Egypt means Bris Milah specifically. And it's after the paragraph break because we're bridging and saying that removing the shame of Egypt with the Bris Milah is an act of cementing the new identity which is seen with the Korban Pesach. In other words, Bris Milah is not just a mitzvah, it's identity forming like the Korban Pesach is. So for example, Radak says on this line, Lefisha Yatsu Ha'avos mi Mitzrayim Vayu Abanim Arelim Kamo HaMitzriyim, because their fathers left Egypt and the kids were uncircumcised, they looked like Egypt, the circumcision stops them from looking like Egypt, and therefore their cherpa, their shame is removed. Malbim says it's about their character. They had a certain weakness in their mitzvos, a certain laziness in their mitzvos because of the Egyptian idolatry that was still closely associated with them. They were uncircumcised in Egypt until the Bris Milah, when they brought the Korban Pesach to leave Egypt in the first place. And so this was the shame of Egypt, that laziness in fulfilling the mitzvah. And now it is removed with the Bris Milah performed right before the Korban Pesach. So the first school of thought says removing the shame of Egypt is just about you're bringing the Korban Pesach, you're in the land, it's something new. The second school of thought says removing the shame of Egypt is about having the Bris Milah, which is important because it removes the fact that you look like Egyptians or remove the laziness that you had in Egypt and now enables you to take on this new identity with the Korban Pesach. Ralbag has a third idea. He pins this on ideology. Ralbag says the shame of Egypt refers to the beliefs, emunosehem hanifsados, the idolatrous beliefs that he says there were Jews who had in Egypt. We'll see that at the end of Sefer Yehoshua. It shows up in Yechezkel also that there were Jews who had adopted Egyptian idolatry. Now I am removing those Egyptian beliefs with the Bris Milah and with the Karban Pesach, because the Karban Pesach inculcates this new ideology. So Bris enables the Karban Pesach and the removal of Avodah Zarah from us, and that's how we're bridging it. So you have a paragraph break, and then you talk about leaving the shame of Egypt, but it's really about leaving the shame of Egypt with the Bris Milah, which enables the Karban Pesach, which is what, you know, removes that shame. I don't know how clear that was. But the key point, really, I guess, out of all of it, in case that wasn't clear, is that this is the third time I recorded this, so I'm not going to record it a fourth. But either you're saying removing the shame of Egypt is just about Karban Pesach, that's a Barbanel, or you're saying removing the shame of Egypt is about the Bris Milah itself, removing the fact that they looked like Egyptians, removing the laziness of it, that's Radak and Malbim. Or Ralbag, a third approach, removing the shame of Egypt is removing the Egyptian idolatry from you, which enables you to bring the Karban Pesach. However you do this, the bottom line lesson and key point that I think we're supposed to take out of this is to remember you're removing the shame of Egypt, which was added onto you. It isn't who you are. You had a life in Israel before you ever went down to Egypt. You know, today we find these people who talk about the right of the Jews to Israel as though it began with the Holocaust. The United Nations granted us a place for all these Jews who were displaced in Europe. That's not so. Our claim is ancient. We were Israelis before Egypt. And that's the message that Yeshua is giving to the Jews then. You weren't born in Egypt. You were not born as slaves. You lived in Eretz Yisrael before. You had a mitzvah of Bris Milah before. So now you are restoring that Bris Milah identity that you had, and now you bring the Karban Pesach. Remember your roots. There's also an interesting sort of arc going on in that you brought the Karban Pesach when you went into the Midbar, you brought the Karban Pesach now as the closure for your desert experience. Okay, so that's Psukim, Tes, and Yod, sentences 9 and 10. That brings us to Pasuk Yud Aleph, sentence 11, and the halting of the Mun. So we'll start on this today. I think we're going to end up finishing it tomorrow. But vayochlu me'avur ha'aretz mimacharas ha'pesach matzos v'kalui. They ate from the produce of the land the day after the Pesach, matzos, as well as kalui. Matzos, we know what matzah is. This is fairly familiar. And kalui is parched grain or singed grain that you dry out and eat the kernels that way. I think maybe you grind it up. Be'etzem hayom hazeh, on this very day. So on the next day, you are eating from the produce of the land. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayishbos Haman Mimacharas, the man halted the next day, Bo'ochlam Me'avur Ha'aretz, when they ate from the produce of the land. V'lohaya Od Livnei Yisrael Man, the Jews no longer had man. Vayochlu Mitvuas Eretz Kenan Bashana Hahi, and they ate from the produce of the land of Canaan on that day. So there's a lot to talk about here. Like I said, we're going to start on it now and may end up finishing it tomorrow. So the question is, first of all, what is this avur ha'aretz? I keep translating it as the produce of the land. But there are two different schools of thought. One school of thought is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Gimel Lamed Aleph, which says on this Pasuk, Rosh Hashanah 13a, when it says they ate of the produce of the land the day after the Pesach, Mimacharas ha-Pesach achul me'ikara lo achul. The Gemara says they specifically started eating from the produce of the land the day after the Karban Pesach, meaning the 16th day of Nisan, and earlier they did not. Da'krivu omer v'hader achli. They brought the Karban omer, and then they were able to eat. That's the idea. Where did they get grain from to bring the Karban Omer, the Gemara asks. So Rav Kahana said, grain that had not reached one-third of its growth in the hands of a non-Jew, meaning we have a rule of Chadash and Yashan. The halacha is, as brought in the Torah, that any grain that takes root in the season before Pesach, at any point before Pesach, if it grows to a certain extent, then that grain is called chadash. It is new, and it is prohibited until the second day of Pesach. On the second day of Pesach, we bring the Karban Omer in the Beis HaMikdash, and at that point, that grain becomes yashan. It is now old, and now you're allowed to eat it. Today, right now, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash as of this recording, and still, the second day of Pesach is when that grain becomes permitted. It becomes yashan, even though we can't bring the Karban. Nonetheless, the day itself works for this purpose. So what it's saying is, until now, they were not able to eat the grain that was chadash. It was new. However, they brought the Karban Omer. How could you bring the Karban Omer? The Karban Omer is supposed to come from your new grain. The answer is that this was grain that had not reached one-third of its growth in non-Jewish hands. So therefore, you could purchase it, and therefore it would then be yours, and then it would grow, and then you could bring it. So what they're eating now is chadash. What they're eating now is the brand new grain after bringing the Karban Pesach. That fits with the fact that the text says they ate it in sentence 11, be'etzem hayom hazeh, on this very day. Because if you were to look in the Torah, in Sefer Vayikra, in chapter 23, sentence 14, it's in Parshas Emor, in the law of Chadash, it specifically says, be'etzem hayom hazeh, on this very day, the middle of this day, on this very day. So we're using the same language from there. That shows that what we're talking about is that mitzvah of Chadash. It also means that what's going on here is demonstrating how the Jews are keeping mitzvos hatzliyos ba'aretz, the mitzvos of the land. Another element that demonstrates that we have arrived in our land, we are performing the mitzvos that relate to the land. Look, we have this mitzvah of chadash yashan and the karban omer. That's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Yigimel Amud Aleph. Radak disagrees. Radak says, mimocharas means the day after you brought the karban Pesach. You brought the Karban Pesach on the 14th, right? That's what you're supposed to do. That evening is your Seder. And then Macharas is the 15th. So he says, Avur Ha'aretz does not mean the produce of Eretz Yisrael. Avur Ha'aretz means the old grain, which they bought from merchants in the land. That's what it's talking about. And he says, the word Avur is not the same as Tivu'ah, which is the grain of the land that is actually emerging now. Avur means the old stuff from the land. That's what they actually purchased from people, and then they ate, and they ate it as matzos and kalui, because that's appropriate for Pesach. So the Radak does not take the view of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Some might be surprised by that, but the more you learn in Nach, the more you find, and it's in Chumash also, but the more you find cases in which the Medrash will take one route, and then the Parshanim, they're fully cognizant of, and they honor the Medrash, but they also give you another read that they consider to be a pshat read, a straightforward read. There's more to say here about Pasuk Yud Beis, and we'll continue with that, God willing, tomorrow.